Well, how many had a good time at the marriage retreat? I tell you, if you're married and didn't have an opportunity to go this time, I just flat out tell you how it was. It was awesome. We had a great time. And if you missed going, you missed it. It was just plain awesome. We laughed. We cried. We worshiped. We had such a great time with our speakers today. And I want to take time to introduce them to you. Approximately 6 years ago, I was getting ready to start Destiny Church. And we had seven families, and we were in a basement praying. And Gary and Tammy Denahue were some dear friends of ours. They were bringing us into Foursquare. And as they were bringing us into Foursquare, they had talked to us and said, hey, we want you to help start a plant of church in Joplin. We met Mike Masters. This whole thing began to snowball, and we began to start a church. And we were getting ready to start a church, and Gary came to me and said, hey, there's a guy in Colorado. He's running multiple services. And you probably don't even remember the story, but I'm going to tell you, I never told you the story before. But a little over 60 years, a guy in Colorado, but named Sam Rockwell. He started his church there with nothing. He's built it up to around 1,000 people. He's running multiple services. And he's going to be a great tool for you to be able to plug into. I've arranged for you just to give him a phone call. Here's his cell phone number. He's a busy guy. But call him, and he's expecting your phone call. And he's just going to encourage you before you start your church. So we haven't even started Destiny Church yet. And I called Pastor Sam Rockwell on the phone. And here's a man who is pastoring 1,000 people. And he took time out of his day just to speak to me and encourage me. And he was like, you know, I'm sure he was doing it because it was a favor to Gary. But genuinely in his heart, he has a thing for church planters. And he has a thing to help young pastors. And so he didn't say anything profound that day that I remember about. I remember more than anything. I don't mean that anything other than to say that more than anything, I remember the heart of just taking time to pray with us and to pray with me and just to encourage me with some words of encouragement. That really meant a lot to me. And it spoke a lot to me about coming into Foursquare with the open arms of those who are around me. I remember the first time I came down an elevator convention. There was this Hawaiian-looking dude. I didn't know who he was. But he was like, hey, welcome. How you doing? We met the whole time and talked. And later on, I found out he was one of the keynote speakers. And Wayne Cadero, 20,000 people in Hawaii. I mean, I just love this organization because it's so many friendly people who genuinely care about one another. And today, it's my privilege to introduce to you our Gateway Supervisors. They're in charge of Missouri, Kansas, Colorado, South Dakota, and Nebraska. They oversee all those states here. We have 14 supervisors in the United States, and ours is called the Gateway District, and we're very, very proud to have them all the way from Denver, Colorado. Can you put your hands together and welcome them back one more time? My pastor, Sam and D. Rockwell.
Denver Broncos.
Good morning.
Go Denver Broncos. That's what you get for putting that music on there.
We're so excited to be here. Thank you for all of you who have welcomed us and have opened up your hearts and just shared a little bit of your lives. We really feel welcomed here and honored to be here. And what a wonderful group and what a wonderful congregation and what wonderful pastors. I think you guys would agree Gene and Melody are. So it's
wow.
Great to be here. Great
Tremendous.
To be here. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. And we need you guys. So thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Go ahead and take that down there with Gene. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you. What an exciting place this is. And Gene and Melody, baby, oh my gosh. You know, we keep hearing the church is growing. It's an awesome church, and we know Gene's crazy. So we know we need to get up there and look around. And I have to tell you, the couples retreat and the time that we've spent with your leaders so far and just the personal conversations we've had with your leaders, I mean, I'm just telling you, are you ready for an explosion in this church and in this town? Are you ready to take on the responsibility? Oh, here it comes. Are you ready to take on the responsibility God is going to give you for giving you a city? You know, I'm just saying, this isn't my message. This is all free stuff. This is free stuff. But But this isn't all going to be easy. And I just want to tell you right now that I am standing squarely, Dee and I stand squarely with you. We absolutely adore your pastors and your leaders. And we are fully supportive of what God is doing here. But I just want to tell you that when God lays a city, God doesn't do this to every church. But when God lays a city before a church and says to a church, I'm kind of telling you something I think God's saying. When God says to a church, it's yours. Here are the keys. Go ahead and take it. When God says that to a church about a city, you have to be ready to step up. This is a lot of fun. Wow. But taking on a city isn't all fun. So I'm not here to be a downer. I'm just here to say, open up your heart and open up your hands and open up your mind, and you're in the right place. But I don't care if it's your very first time here today. If you stay and if you're a part of this church, roll up your sleeves right now. Because God's going to use every single person in this place here to be a part of something that just may be the biggest thing and the most important thing that's ever happened in your life. Okay, that's all. Just saying. And my message today is really about that. I didn't have that thought until I just experienced what I've experienced. Look around and the Lord saying, you got something on your hands here. But I want to talk to you today about having confidence in God. And the word confidence is from the Latin word co-fidel, which means with faith. So confidence, the word that we use so often, really means faith. But I like how the Apostle Paul uses it in Philippians chapter 1, because he talks about faith in God in regards to what God is doing in our lives right now, this very moment. And I want to suggest to you that it is not that big of a deal for you to have faith in God. Now, I know that's not something you typically hear from preachers. And you have to take what I'm saying there with a little grain of salt. You know, obviously it's a pretty big thing to have faith in God. I get that. But generally, to have faith in God is not that helpful. It doesn't take that much faith to believe that God created things and that He's a person. It doesn't take that much faith to believe even that He's intersected history and that He showed up in a person who loves us deeply and greatly. Although that's the starting place for faith, and that is what brings salvation to us. I'm talking very practically here today. The faith that matters right here, right now, today, is the confidence that God is in the middle of your business. That He's in the middle of your life doing something. Does that make sense? Because really, it's not that much to say, well, God's out there somewhere helping somebody. God's doing great things in someone else's life, but I'm not really sure about myself because, you know, I live with myself every day. And I know that I might have messed up. In fact, I might have messed up a lot, and I might have messed up even this morning, even before I got to church. So I'm not sure I'm really in the right place doing the right thing at the right time. Any of you ever feel that? It's like even you can be in an incredible service like this one and worship God. He's great. He's wonderful. Oh, this is cool. God's doing great things. And still feel a little bit of disconnect that He's right here, right now, using you in exactly the place that you are at. You know what I'm talking about. And what I want to say to you and what I hope to convince you of in the next few minutes is that you are. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm also going to prove to you, I want you to hear this message on two different levels. I want you to hear it based on what God's doing in your life, and I want you to think about Destiny Church. And I want you to think about what God's doing in this congregation. So turn to Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. And don't read ahead of me. In fact, don't put it up there quite yet, because I want to say this. I want to tell you that the Apostle Paul wrote to the book of Philippians while he was in prison. He didn't plan on going to prison, but that's where he ended up, because sometimes things happen in life. And even though this book was written while Paul was in prison, it's one of the most joyful, optimistic books in all of the Bible. Because most of the time when Paul was writing to a church, he was writing because there was trouble going on. How many of you know that 2,000 years ago, sometimes there were trouble in churches? Now today, of course, we never have those kinds of things happen. But back then, sometimes there were a lot of problems in churches. And often when Paul was writing to a church, he was actually responding to a letter that he had gotten about the trouble in the church, and he was writing back. So it was almost like when you're reading the New Testament letters, you're hearing one side of a cell phone conversation, like in an airport or something, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. But in Philippians, that's not the case. He writes the book of Philippians, even though he's in prison, just out of the overflow of his heart, and he talks about the things that he loves to talk about. And one of the things he loves to talk about is confidence in God. And he uses the word in the New King James Bible 3 times. And I want you to think about a wedding cake. I want you to think about a foundational layer, little layer on top, and a layer on top of that. And I want you to think about the word confidence as being those layers. Because I'm going to suggest to you that every time he uses the word confidence, it's a little more personal, it's a little more intense, and it's even a little bit more, for some of you today, in your face. So you ready to go on that? Okay. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3, starting with verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, make a request for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. Everybody say confident. Confident. Say it one more time. Confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he really underlines this. He says, I'm confident of this very thing. What is that? That he who has begun a good work in you and me will finish it. How many of you believe that God has started something good in your life? Oh, come on. You believe that somewhere, at some point in your life, God put a seed in your heart and said, I'm starting something in you. If you believe that that's true about your life on any level, raise your hand. Now see, that's true. But somewhere along the line, stuff happens. And we lose that sense of immediacy about God being in the middle of our lives. And I want to say to you today that what he started in you, he will finish in you. That he is not done with you. He's not abandoned you. He's not forgotten about you. But he will finish what he started in you. And my prayer today is that you will have eyes of faith to be able to see into your life, not just at your life, but to see into your life and to see his handiwork in it. How many of you remember, they were really popular a number of years back, but how many of you remember the kind of holographic three-dimensional puzzles that people used to look at a lot? Do you remember any of those? Some of you might not remember that, but they're, when you look at the surface, you just see all these random colors. Is anybody here with me today? Are y'all good? Y'all out there? And what you do is you look at these, and you have old books of them. You have a whole book of them at home. I should have brought one. But it's just colors. It doesn't, there's nothing there. And you put it about 8 inches from your eyes. Now, you know, sometimes like our kids, they'll turn around in circles and get kind of, ooh, and then they'll look at it. Hey, I see it. But you really don't have to do that. You just put it about 8 inches and you just look at it for a while. And pretty soon you're not looking at it, you're looking into it. You know what I'm talking about now. And all of a sudden these forms and pictures pop out at you. Boom. And you see stuff. Oh, there was design and purpose. And there's a picture in there. And what I want to suggest to you is that's what it's like to have eyes of faith for your own life. That you have to see beyond the surface. Because when you look at the surface of your life, I'm just being honest. Okay? But when I just look at the surface of my life, you know, I had all these grand plans for how everything would go in my life, and then life happened. And then it just seemed sometimes like just random things. You know, I was going to do this, and then that happened. And I had aspirations for this, but really it kind of turned out this way. You know, somebody said once, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And it's only when I see with the eyes of faith, not at my life, but into my life, that I see that God has anticipated everything. That he's always working around things and in things and through things. And he knows how I will fail and how I have failed and how I have succeeded and how I will succeed. And he's like the man behind the curtain, and he has wheels and strings and levers. Oh, man, she did it again. Rats. Okay, I'm going to get around here. You know, he's working on stuff, is what I'm trying to say. He's working hard on some of you. Can't keep ahead of that guy. But when I see into my life with eyes of faith, I see there's design in everything. How many of you can say, praise God? Do you understand that that's the gospel? Do you understand that that's the good news? Not just that on Easter Sunday he rose from the dead for you. That's good news. Not just that he forgives you when you sin. That's good news. But even in the day-to-day struggles of faith and life, he's anticipating the next move. That he's working on your behalf in all things. Is anybody in the house today? Let's give God praise for that. So turn to somebody next to you and say, God has started something in my life, and I'm confident he'll finish it. Go ahead and tell somebody that. So that's the good news. Now, I got to tell you some other news. Here's the second time Paul uses the word confidence. And so we're going to read from the same chapter, from verse 12. And I wish this wasn't in here, but it is. And he says this. I wanted you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me. Now, if you have a Bible that's open, I want you to underline that. Because that's life right there. I love that little phrase. Because what Paul's saying is, I had a plan for how things would go, and then things happened to me. That's real. That's the stuff that trips us up right there. It's not the stuff that was in my master plan for my life. It's the stuff that happened to me. He says, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard, that's the prison where he's at, and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident, everybody say confident, by my chains are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, not only has God started something in my life, and I'm confident that God is working in my life, but I'm confident that God is working in my suffering. In the things that happened to me. And if you really read that closely, what he's actually saying is, God has not only used my suffering, but the way that I suffer brings glory to God, furthers the gospel, and gives confidence to everybody in my life. That's what he's saying. Now, you can't have a perspective like that if you think that you are the hero of your life. Because that's what I used to think. I used to think, it's my life. I'm the hero of it. Thank you. And until I started realizing that actually, have you ever noticed that the hero in the Bible is always God? Have you ever noticed that the people in the Bible are really sometimes screw-ups? Almost all of them. And that the goal of the story is to show how great and loving God is. Do you know that's the goal of your life? Is to further the gospel, give glory to God. So if I'm not the writer of the screenplay of my life, and I'm not the producer and the director, well, what is that to me? Paul is saying, these things happened to me which I did not plan. I am in chains, and those chains give glory to God, and the way that I suffer empowers and emboldens and gives confidence to everybody in my life. I am confident that God is working in my life. I am confident that God is using my suffering in things that I often don't understand to bring glory to himself. Have any of you ever heard of a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Anybody ever heard that name? You might guess, but he was a German. And he was a pastor, Pastor Gene, during the Second World War. And he was just a normal, everyday Lutheran pastor. But this is what I love about him. He plotted during the Second World War in Germany, pastor of a little Lutheran congregation. You know the Lutherans, very mild-mannered, praise the Lord. Let us pray. This mild-mannered Lutheran pastor in Germany was part of an assassination plot to assassinate Hitler. I got to tell you, Gene, that's my kind of pastor. That's my kind of guy. I'm just a nice, mild-mannered pastor, and we're going to kill Hitler. And he got caught, and he got thrown in prison, and he was eventually executed for trying to do that. And what's interesting is, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of the most profound theologians and writers, and I'm still reading his stuff. But you know the only reason I'm reading it is because he spent so much time in prison that he didn't plan on writing it. And one of the things he said was this. He said, when you look back on the most painful and the most painful memories of your life, they become songs of praise when seen through the eyes of gratitude. When your life is about God and His glory, everything finds its place and becomes praise. I am confident that God is working in my life. I am confident that God is working in my suffering. And I'm confident of one more thing. And this is the last time that he uses the word confident in Philippians chapter 1. Now, the first time we read this, that's a scripture that we often read. I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me shall bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. We say that all the time. The second one, a little less so. People have been made confident by my chains, and these things that have happened to me have furthered the gospel. This last one, almost never, because it's almost like a throwaway line. It's like, well, Paul isn't really saying anything that profound, but I think he is. And I want to read it to you. Verse 25. And being confident of this. Everybody say confidence. I know that I shall remain and continue with you all. Southern version. With you all. For your progress and joy of faith. It's not that much there. It's not that interesting. I mean, really all he's saying is, I'm confident that one way or another, this is what he's saying, literally. He's saying, God's going to let me live for a little while longer, and I'm going to remain in your life and minister to you, and we're going to have some fun in the process. It's going to be good, joyful experience. What? That's not, that, you know, okay, cool. This is what I want you to see today. Paul is not only confident God's working in his life. He's not only confident God is working in his suffering. He's saying God is working in the everyday decisions that I'm making right now. And I have confidence that if I'm here on this day, at this time, doing this thing, that God's going to show up and use my life and make a difference in yours. And that is the kind of faith and confidence in God that matters right here, right now, today, for your church and your life. So, that wasn't everybody, so I'm not going to stop. Because I know how some of you are. Some of you are going, well, not me. You're smiling, but there's a little reservation there. You're going, well, you know, you haven't lived my life, Sam. And I think God gave up on me a little while ago. This is what I want to say to you. The gospel of grace that we believe in is activated today and in this moment now for you. And that everything in your life, I'm not saying that everything in your life is good. I'm not saying that you haven't made some really colossally stupid decisions. Turn to someone next to you if you have and say, colossal is the right word. But either God is God or he's not. He's either the greatest redeemer in all of history, atoning and making good the things that are bad, or he's not. A couple years ago, I got a GPS for Christmas. It was a life-changing experience for me because I get lost going across the street, and that's almost no exaggeration. You know, I will pick up my kids, and they'll tell me, "Do you know how to get home, Dad?" I mean, this is my own town. It's humiliating. I get lost all the time, and so I love this little GPS. You put it in there, and it tells you what to do. What I found interesting is that my little GPS has a female voice, which I find kind of interesting. Has a female voice. And when I make the wrong turn, she says, "Recalculating." And she actually says it kind of like that, with a little bit of snootiness. Like, "Well, we haven't been paying attention, have we?" So now I have two female voices in the car telling me what to do. But this is what I love about the GPS, is that when you make a wrong move, you're out there and you get close and you're on your way and you make a wrong move and she says, "Recalculating." That she gets you where you need to go from where you are. Because let me tell you something. If I had to go back to the driveway every time I made a wrong move, I'd never get out of my driveway. I mean, if every time I made a wrong move with the GPS, I had to go back to my house, recalculate, and get new directions, I'd never get anywhere. And I want to tell you something, that you have to get that mindset out of your head. We get ideas in our heads of the perfect plan of God for our lives, as if God couldn't see the future. We get the idea in our minds about what is the best plan for our lives based on our little brains. We get an idea of where we're going to go from the driveway to where God wants us to be. And then we get lost, and things that happened to us happen, and we get lost along the way, and we have a general kind of confidence that God is there. He's risen from the dead. He's doing good things, but he's lost track of us, and he hasn't done that. He's got you calculated. Ding, 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 ding. There he is, there he is, there he is. And God knows, maybe you have gotten lost. Maybe you have made wrong turns. God knows exactly where you are today and the shortest route from where you are to where he's taking you. You're on the way now, no matter where you are. Praise God. That's the gospel. Praise God. That's the gospel. Anything less than that kind of full-orb, full-hearted faith is not faith enough. God is using you. One more little story. How many of you know the story of Joseph in the Bible, Old Testament? Remember that he had a dream about how God would make him great and use him. And his brothers were jealous of that dream, so they devised a plan to kill him. Now, they didn't actually kill him, but that's actually what they intended to do, right? And in fact, if you read the story, the reason why they didn't kill him is because they realized they could make a little money on the deal and no big deal. So they sold him as a slave to Egypt. And for 13 years, he lived as a slave and then as a prisoner in Egypt. And then because he interpreted a dream, right, for Pharaoh about this whole famine that was coming upon the whole world, God made him like the COO of the world, literally, of the known world at that time. And he was running everything. He was feeding the whole world. And one day he was standing on the steps of the palace, Joseph was, had his signet ring and his white robe and his big old white turban. And he's standing on these marble steps, and 10 emaciated brothers come in the gate of the palace looking for food. And Joseph recognizes them. What? Now, I don't know about you, but if it's me, I'm the king of the universe. I got people waiting on me. Everything has gone my way now. And I see these guys who had murder in their hearts and intended to kill me and are now begging for bread at my feet. I don't know. I don't know, but maybe I'm thinking. Somebody's thinking like me. Yeah, that's that kind of wicked laugh. I love that. I got to get that recorded, whoever does that. I'm thinking revenge is a dish best served if cold. But he doesn't. He doesn't think that. And I want to show you something that I hope you will never forget the rest of your life. You can read it someday in Genesis chapter 45. But Joseph tells the story of his own life from a perspective that blows my mind. First of all, I've preached on that story a number of times. And this is how I usually preach the story of Joseph. Joseph was true to his dreams. Joseph was true to God in his character. And because of that, God exalted him and blessed him. Now, is that the story of Joseph? Is it? Yes. Absolutely. And it's absolutely true that if you are faithful to God, you will have blessing in your life. And if you don't, you will suffer the consequences. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying today. There are consequences for our mess ups and our sin. Terrible consequences. But the story that Joseph tells his own brothers when they finally recognize him is this. First of all, 3 times he says this. He says, "Don't feel bad for what you did." He says it several times. And he says, "God sent me here. God sent me here. God sent me here." He says it 3 times. And then he says, "God has used all of your decisions and all of my decisions and everything that's happened to save everybody." And what he's saying is, everybody is going to get fed. And not only is Egypt eating, but you're eating, and surrounding nations are eating, and God is the hero of the whole story. Can you imagine being those brothers and going, "Oh, good." Because you know what? We are all the brothers. We are all the people standing before God going, "Good." Because even our greatest failures, God is using some. I'm not saying go fail, am I? There are consequences for what you do. Of course there are. And you do lose your way. And that makes life more painful than it has to be. But I'm saying right here, right now, God's used everything that's ever happened in your life to get you right here because you're in the perfect position to be used by God. And the story is about Him, not us anyway. Yeah. You know, I want to give God praise again for that one more time. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to give God praise for that truth because it's real and personal in your life today. Let's give him praise again. Oh, make it so, Lord, today. In Destiny Church, in each and every individual life, Lord, we sit here today on the precipice of incredible opportunity, Lord. And there's nothing in us that will keep us back from doing what you've called us to do. Very quickly today, I want to ask you one simple thing. Then I'm going to give it back to Pastor Gene. With everybody's eyes closed, if you're here today and you would say very quickly to me, and very privately, that's how I'm going to do it. If you would say to me today, Pastor Sam, I want to follow Jesus Christ. That's a Savior that I can understand. That's a Savior I can follow and serve. That's Jesus. I want to be saved. If you're here today and you want to say yes to him, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I'm going to ask you to open your eyes as wide as you can and look right at me. And this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to say, Lord, I want to follow you with all my heart starting today. Maybe it's your very first time you've come to Christ. Maybe you've been, you know, stopping, starting. And today you want to say, I'm in, I'm all in. Today, if that's you, I want you to look at me right in my eyes right now. Just keep looking. I'm going to look at you. I see 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 you. Just keep looking at me. Just keep looking at me. I see you. Oh, wow. I see you. I see you, ma'am. I see you, hon. I see you, hon. I see you, hon. Wow. I see you, sir. I see you, young man. Wow. Now I want everybody just to hold out your hands with your eyes closed. Just open up your hands in front of you and say, Jesus Christ. Everybody, let me hear you. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me and heal me and send me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we say welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand clap. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, if you go back to our Information Welcome Center back here, we have a special gift for you. It's got a free Bible, some other things to tell you what to do next. Today is just a beginning point in your journey, a new journey of turning a 180 in your life and pursuing after the righteous things of God in your life. And so today, if you don't have a home church, we welcome you here. We'd love to have you come be a part of a family that loves you and welcomes you and with open arms. We're so glad you're here. Today, before we leave, we're going to take up a love offering for our speakers. Have you enjoyed them this weekend? Man, they've been such a great, great speakers this weekend, yeah. Thank you guys so much for being here. I know that they have a very busy schedule, and I just appreciate them taking off to be here. They've been here Friday night, Saturday, and now here Sunday with us speaking at our marriage conference, and now here this morning. He doesn't expect a dime when he comes. He just comes ready to minister. But today we have an awesome opportunity to sow seed into their lives, into their ministry, and we want to bless them in a big way today. How many believe that's a godly thing to do, that we take care of the men and women of God who sends our way? We're going to invest into them today. And so I hope you're preparing yourself an offering. We're going to do it in just a second, guys, before you do that. We're going to pass out the buckets around, and I want you just to bow your heads right now. Just bow your heads where you're at. Just ask in your heart, God, what would you have me give today? What would you have me give into this ministry of Sam and D. Rockwell? Father, they've been such a blessing to us. I just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? Now, whatever he's speaking to you, I want you just to take that and be obedient and act upon that. I can guarantee this is good ground. This is good ground we're going to sow seed into today. We want to bless them, okay? We want to bless their socks off is what we want to do because they've been a blessing to us. And so in return, we just want to bless them today. They go many places that can't afford to do much. And today we've been blessed with a lot, so we want to help them out, okay? So we're going to be a blessing to them today. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this offering. Lord, we bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stand on your feet as we take up the offering today. We're going to close out with one more song. Come on, let's get our hands together. Let's celebrate the Lord this morning as we sing praises.
How many are excited that we have confidence in God? Come on, anybody excited that we have confidence in God today? Hallelujah! We're going to give God praise one more time. Come on, come on. Here we go.
You are the Lord God Almighty. You're perfect in everything you do. The angels declare you are holy, and no one else compares to you.
Man, thank you so much for being here today. Justin's going to come, close us out in a word of prayer. God bless you.
God, we're so thankful for all that you've done and all that we've seen in our midst today, God. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. Lord, we thank you for Sam and Dee, God, for the beautiful ministry that you've given them, God, and how they've blessed us over this weekend, God. And Lord, we're excited about what you're doing in this church, God. In your body, God. We're excited about you, God, and we're going to go forth, God, in the confidence that you have our backs, God, and that there is no failure in you, God. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.